the United States.
Governor Miller, Governor Ammons of Colorado, I think I can say my old friends of Cheyenne. Because, as you know, since 1932, Cheyenne has been on my annual visiting list. Some of you may wonder why I am here today. Back in January 1937, this year, a friend of mine came to me and said, "Why, during the next 4 years, don't you take it easy? Why don't you coast? You've come up a long, steep grade for the past 4 years, and now, during the next 4 years, you might as well have a good time." Well, I said to him that I was going to continue during these 4 years the practice of the last four. And that incidentally, in so doing, I would have a good time. I don't want to coast, and the nation doesn't want me to coast with my feet up on the front wheels. I have thought it was part of the duty of the presidency to keep in touch, personal touch, with the nation. And so this year, since January, I have already made one trip through a number of the southern states on my way back from catching some fish. And now I am going out to the coast for the third time since I have been president, not counting campaign trips, going out to take a look-see, to try to tie together in my own mind the problems of the nation, in order that I may at first hand know as much about the questions that affect all of the 48 states as possible. As you know, the greater part of the emergency is over. Not all of it, because there are still a great many difficult problems. And I want to talk to you very briefly about some of the things that the national government has done and is doing. For example, we during the past 3 or 4 years have spent in every part of the country a great deal of federal money in putting people to work. That was the primary objective. But at the same time, we have tried our utmost to accomplish useful things. And there isn't a state, there are very, very few communities in the whole nation that have not benefited by these federal expenditures, not in a temporary way, but in a permanent way. I was thinking this morning of the question of airports. And I don't know whether it's thoroughly realized. You here on one of the stations of one of the main transcontinental airlines, you know it. The federal government has assisted in the actual building not of several dozen new airports in the country, not several hundred, but many thousands, with the result today that the United States is checkerboarded with airports in every state. That's an accomplishment of the past 3 or 4 years. And in the same way, not dozens or hundreds, but thousands of schools have been built or renovated with a combination of state and local and federal funds. We have to come someday to an end of the greater part of that program. And just the other day in Washington, we allocated the last of the federal money for public works projects. Those consisted of more schools, more sewer systems, more waterworks, and things of that kind, where there was a very clear need for replacement, or where the states or the localities had already voted funds. I'll tell you one amusing story of the allocation of school projects. Congress told me to confine them to those schools which had been places where the school had been burned down or where a new school had to be built to replace a building that was about to tumble down. And there came a project from one of the southern states for the building in a community of a new school building and a new library. The school building was to replace one which was about to tumble down, and we granted the project. But in the case of the library, they apparently didn't have a library. It wasn't a replacement, and with great regret, we rejected the application. The head of the school came to Washington to see me. I told him how sorry I was that we couldn't spend federal funds just for new buildings, no matter how much they were needed, unless they were to replace something that had burned down. And he said, but Mr. President, our school, our library did burn down. Well, I said, that's funny, because there's nothing said about it in the application. When was it burned down? And he came back and he said, Mr. President, our library was burned in 1864 by General Sherman. And so on this trip, I am looking at many, many types of projects. I'm always keen when I come west to get more people out of the east to come west and see things with their own eyes. The other day I read in a great newspaper of the Middle West an editorial that took as its text the fact that one of the WPA projects, a dam, I think in Kansas, a part of it had washed out with undoubtedly a loss of a good deal of money, and pointed out that this was the way the federal government was wasting its funds. Well, I believe, you know, that engineers are human just like I am, and that they don't make a home run every time they come to the bat. But the editorial went on, taking that as a text, and pointed out from their point of view, which I don't believe is the point of view of the nation, that in the construction of these great dams by the federal government, we are creating millions of kilowatts of power which will never be used by the people. But I think that you and I and most people realize that when you do create power, the public finds some useful way to use it. In the same way, they went on to tell the people that all of this reclamation process was a pure waste of money, that to build a project like Casper Alcova or Grand Coulee, why, by doing so, we would put into use unnecessary farmland. that there was enough good farmland in the United States to take care of all the people who needed it for 50 years to come. You and I know that isn't so. You here on this great central highway know of the number of people, families, who have had to leave their homes and their farms in the drought area. Some of them from the eastern part of this state, from the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. People who couldn't make a go of it on poor land, forced to leave their homes to avoid starvation. And those people have headed further west, looking for a chance to earn their livelihood, looking for good land and not being able to find it. So in the same way, there are thousands of families in the east who are unable to make good on the land that they're tilling now for very obvious reasons. It's land that ought not to be put under the plow. And so for all those families, I believe that it is the duty of the federal government and the state government to provide them with land where it's possible to do it, where they can make a living. And so I could go on talking about WPA and PWA and soil erosion and the CCC camp. As a matter of fact, it's all served a pretty useful purpose. It's a better country for having spent for a few years more than we were taking in taxes. And don't let anybody deceive you. The government of the United States is not going broke. So here I am trying in this short trip, for it must be short, trying to get a cross-section point of view, a point of view especially of the rank and file of the American people in this Western country. Yes, it's part of the duty of the presidency to represent, insofar as possible, all the people, not just Democrats, but Republicans as well. Not just the rich people, but poor people as well. And I have been trying very simply to do the most good for the greatest number. Out here in the cattle country and the sugar beet country, of course I'm interested in the prosperity of the raisers of cattle and the growers of beef. Perhaps somewhere down in my heart, I'm a little bit more interested in the 10 men who have 100 head of cattle apiece than I am in the one man who has 1,000 head of cattle. And perhaps I'm a little bit more interested in the 10 men who have got 100 acres of beet than I am in the one man who's got 1,000 acres of beet. It seems to me that that is one of the orders, one of the necessary things that goes with the presidency. And we, in these past 4 years, have tried, I think honestly, and I think fairly successfully, to do the greatest good for the greatest number. And so in these next few years, 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, 20 years, I am very firmly convinced that the people of the nation have more and more a national point of view. You people out here realize far better than you did 4 years ago, that your prosperity is tied up very intimately with the prosperity of the cotton growers of the South and with the industrial workers of the East. And in the same way, those people in the great factories of the East and the Middle West and on the cotton farms of the South, in the Corn Belt and in the Wheat Belt, they know that their prosperity is affected by your prosperity out here. That, I believe, will be written in history as the great accomplishment of these years that we're living in now, the welding together of the people of the United States. And so, my friends, I'm glad to have been able to come out here on this annual trip, and I hope and expect to come out during the next 3 years again.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard the President of the United States, who was introduced to you by Governor Miller of Wyoming. This program was presented by the Special Events Department of KLZ, and we return you now to our studios.